Hello and welcome back to Be Fair, a podcast hosted by Aaron Jordan Peterson. That's me. And I don't actually have a British accent, but I felt that I needed one while I opened this episode up. I don't know why yet. Anyway, this episode is a very special episode. It is one that I invited a dear, dear friend of mine. Well, mostly a Facebook friend, but we do know each other in person. And her name is Lily O'Brien. We met about 4 years ago when I first moved back to Grand Rapids, while she was working at Target when I was looking for season 2 of The Flash. You'll hear about that in the story, so I'm not going to get too far into that, but that just kind of set in our bond of the fact that we are able to talk nerdy with each other, which isn't always that easy, because some people think we're weird. So the whole point of this episode was the fact that Lily and I grew up in different generations, but both in the same context that we didn't have the same type of social circle that other people did. And so some of our best friends were the TV characters that we learned on TV growing up. So of course that's what this episode's about. I like to call this one television therapy.
That was quick.
Hello.
Hello. Oh my gosh, most of the people that guest on my podcast, it takes sometimes 5 minutes for them to get that on there. But I realize you probably are pretty tech savvy, so.
Yeah, no, I popped right up on the phone. I was nervous. I was like, I hope I can do this right and quick, and popped right up. And I was like, oh, cool. I didn't break anything.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. I got inspired. I've actually been wanting to ask you for a while, but I've been making different ideas of what to do on the podcast lately. You posted the other day about Supernatural and your relationship to it and how it was, what it was for you growing up. And it just really sparked with me because, like I told you, I had the same thing growing up. I didn't have the same type of social circle as others did, I guess, if you think so. So it was interesting to see that post because, okay, so if you want, go ahead and explain a little bit about Supernatural and your connection to it.
Yeah, so it was right about, I'd say, freshman year of high school. And, you know how high school is. High school, you get there and everything's different and your friends really just kind of break off and go their separate ways, join their separate cliques. And I kind of ended up being left out. Like, I feel like I got left behind. And
sure.
I actually had a close friend and she was telling me about Supernatural. And I was like, that sounds really good and I'm kind of looking for something new. And she went out and she actually bought me the first season on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home and I put it in my mom's laptop and I started watching. And like I said in my post, it was love at first episode. It was something so new, and I was always kind of a chicken. I didn't really like the whole scariness, and seasons 1 through 3 I think are a little scary, if you will. But it was so funny. It was just I made a connection with it, and I instantly fell in love. And I kind of have that little bit of a personality about me where if I find something that I love, I get so attached to it. And I just couldn't stop watching. It was just one episode after another, and it was, the characters just really grew on me. And from there it just went on to a love of the actors, because they're all just such amazing, genuine human beings. And it would be so funny. I'd come home from school after just a long day of just, you know, being picked on or just having a bad day in general, and I could just, you know, pop in a disc or go onto Netflix and keep watching, and it just always perked my spirits up. It made me feel like I belonged somewhere and I could kind of have my own little world when I got home.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. And I like that. I love hearing that because we're going to get into that a little bit more. But I wanted you to tell us a little bit about that, because that's the theme of this episode, is I like to call it television therapy. And we'll get to that, but I want to kind of go a little bit about our history, about how we met, and because how we met was such a fantastic way for me. I had just moved back home to Grand Rapids, and I think it was a couple days since I'd moved home, and The Flash, I think it was season two, came out to Blu-ray, and I had anxiety about the fact that Grand Rapids still had not broken into the Blu-ray thing yet. And so I'm like, I had to call before I even drove into town to buy it, because where I was staying with my mom was out in the country. So before I even took the time to drive into town, I wanted to make sure that you guys got the Blu-ray. So I called Target, where you were working at the time. And that's how you answered in electronics. And I'm like, oh, I have to ask. And you were like so happy to help. Oh, yes, we have it. Don't worry. And like you were so excited. Do you remember that day?
I do. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was actually so early on in me working there. And it was so hard working back in electronics as a female, because a lot of people were like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And you were one of the very first phone calls I had received. That it was just such a friendly interaction. And I was so excited. And it was so cool to talk to somebody just over the phone, even, who was so passionate about something. And I was like, we really click. And then when you came in the next day and we got to talk about it, like I knew that was going to be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Well, and yeah, we found out that we both enjoyed Gotham. You a little bit more than I did. Like, I loved Gotham. But you freaking... I mean, I think you were more into Gotham because you have, like, a total infatuation with Edward Nygma.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was great. And I think because season two of Gotham was coming out, too. And you, I remember our conversation went to the fact that you would buy them on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes. I would. And it's so funny because I would do that and I would always set aside like a specific part of my paycheck. And I would come home to my mom and I would be like, look what I got today. And she's like, why? And I was like, because I just have to.
And I like where we're going because we talk about our love of TV and movies and superheroes for one thing. Because like, I know that you really love the Riddler. Like you're a cosplayer of the Riddler. Right?
Yes.
And I love seeing your cosplay. I will make sure that people know about your Instagram and stuff like from listening. I'll make sure that link is on so they can see, because you do some fantastic cosplay that needs to be seen. And I'm honestly jealous of you sometimes. Like, I wish that I was creative enough or dedicated enough to be a cosplayer. And you did, I mean, because you're also, I know you're working on some Harley Quinn stuff, or you were.
Yeah, my cosplay page, I did have an Instagram page up for my cosplays, and I had some issues with some people, because you know how it is in fandoms where things get really over-sexualized a lot.
Yeah,
and I had a lot of issues with that, so the current page I had is currently down, but I am working on something new. Okay. But I was working on some Harley Quinn, some Poison Ivy stuff. I did make that new Riddler dress, and I did do a couple pictures in there. I've been looking at some new wigs. I'm hoping to do with Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, good one.
She's a phenomenal character. She's definitely in my top five cosplays to do.
One of my cosplays that I want to do is the Evil Queen from Once Upon a Time.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I was living for that series. But anyway, let's jump back a little bit. I want to get back to the supernatural thing where there's an age difference between us here. And I'll tell you, it's because Supernatural got you through, what was it, middle school and high school?
Yes.
Yes. Now with me, for me, my generation, where I was in middle school and high school, my show was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Have you ever seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I actually have not, but I do know a bit about the show. Yes.
Yeah. So like I used to make jokes when when Twilight first came out, and people used to make a little post on Facebook, oh my God, it's so heartbreaking to watch a story about a tragic love between a human and a vampire that can never be together. I'm like, yeah, I saw that. It was called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm like, we did that. I went through that already. I'm like, and those vampires didn't sparkle.
No, they most certainly did not.
Now, don't get me wrong. I actually am a guilty pleasure love of Twilight fan. I am. But I don't, I think I would prefer Buffy. Now, Buffy got me through high school because I was a similar case with you, like you, where I didn't have a lot of friends. I grew up in Reamer, Minnesota. And of course I was gay, but I didn't really know it yet. I didn't come out until my junior year of high school. So like, but from 7th through 10th grade, like I mean, all of my high school year, but everyone else was bullying me. Like there was no good, I didn't have friends to hang out with after school. I didn't go to events. I did, but I started finding my solace in like my friends were on the WB, you know, they were on the what is now the CW. It was called the WB. I watched Buffy. I watched Charmed. I watched Dawson's Creek. Those were my friends growing up. And then, so when I read your post about Supernatural, it really struck that chord with me because it's people used to tell me that TV was going to rot your brain and it's bad for you. But I, really felt that it was more important to my upbringing than anything.
So that hits me. I understand that just completely, and it's so hard because the criticism and the bullying that you deal with when you find the comfort and the passion in like a television show or a film, it's outrageous. Like there's so many times where if I was walking around in like a Supernatural shirt, and it was odd because Supernatural was such a popular show. But I mean, even in my like freshman year, I would get like called a geek and a nerd, and I was like uncomfortable with that. And, you know, it was weird because now I embrace that wholeheartedly. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a geek and a nerd, but it's like you watch these shows and you end up making a family from it. And, so many people just have such harsh things to say of, don't you know that they're fictional? And it's like, these characters got me through more in my life than any person who was actually in my life could do.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. I learned so much. Like a lot of the lessons that I know in my adult life are because of lessons that I saw my characters, my favorite characters do like go through. And Joss Whedon, who created Buffy the Vampire Slayer, was a groundbreaking person by creating a strong female character for television that was really unheard of yet, because the only female leads before were overly sexualized, like Wonder Woman and Charlie's Angels and things like that. So Buffy was one of the first ones to not be as overly sexualized and be like, his idea was he was tired of going to scary movies and seeing the dumb blonde girl get killed right away, and he wanted to see what he could do. And so he's like, he made the dumb blonde girl the heroine of the story. And it was just a fantastic way to do it. And that's where I'm such a feminist now, by watching that kind of stuff, by seeing women that could be stronger than what they're allowed to be in society.
I love that so much. And Joss Whedon is an amazing director. He's done so much with Avengers and stuff too. Yeah. So I'm familiar with his work, and I love that. I love that female power where she's not dressed in slinky just because, and she doesn't have to act dumb. She's a strong, powerful character. And what I know about Buffy and Sarah Michelle Gellar as a person is they're both just very strong, inspiring women.
Yes. Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar, I mean, she gets to have that, knowing that she was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's why we have Wonder Woman movies now. That's why we have that's why we had Alias. Jennifer Garner, who played the lead role in Alias, actually gave credit to Sarah Michelle Gellar for playing Buffy. And if it wouldn't have been for Buffy, there wouldn't have been other roles with strong, with leading females in TV, is what they said. It probably would have come later anyway. So I love that I get to, that I'm part of the Buffy generation that grew up with Buffy as an important part of my childhood. And I was so happy to see, I mean, Supernatural was, I wouldn't want to say the Buffy the Vampire Slayer of your generation, you know? It just was two brothers that fought demons, instead of a girl, you know?
And right.
Yeah, and the story arc was Supernatural. I honestly say that you were right about season 1 through 3 were very dark and scary, but there were still some of those lighthearted episodes, but not as many. Once the fandom really took off, then they had so many little love letters to their fans in all the episodes, and 15 years of that series. I mean, that's fantastic. That's double what Buffy did.
Yeah, 15. It's amazing to think that it's come so far, and you know, and I'm unfortunately still getting through 13, having my daughter and being a new mom and everything. It was hard to catch up on things, so I'm slowly but surely getting there. But I know that the finale is tomorrow night, and it's so crazy to think that, like myself and so many other people, have had these characters with us on this journey that, like, you literally grew up with and found part of yourself with these characters. And it's just something that I'm always going to be so thankful that I had in my life.
So did you say that you are only on season 13, or you're ready to watch the final episode tomorrow?
I'm currently working through season 13 right now. I'm finally starting to catch back up.
Got it. I know. 'Cause you, before Quinn, you were able to, watch a little bit more. You know,
yes,
but obviously the joys of mommyhood keep you a little bit busier than being able, and so finding time to do your binge watching isn't as easy, I'm sure.
Yes, it's definitely a lot different. And we're kind of this little girl, I tell you, she picks up on things so fast. And I was watching Supernatural with her the other day, because I was like, I don't think it's going to be like too scary for her, and they don't swear a whole lot, it'll be fine. And we're watching it, and Dean was shooting his gun, and she was going pew pew, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm like, oh girl. So I do watch it when she's napping and stuff, and I'm catching up, because I would love to be able to be at the same time, because it's so hard to avoid spoilers in this day and age. Yeah. With the technology, and I also don't have cable, so I'm just going based off what Netflix has for me.
I haven't had cable in years, unless it's been like something that's just been perked to my place that I live. But I, even when I have cable at any place, like the apartments, you know, where I lived when you were my neighbor building, we had cable in the apartment and everything. I never watched it. I just watched things on Netflix or Hulu. It was so much easier. It's so much easier to have more control over when you can sit down to watch your shows.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to lie, the last few years have been a struggle for me keeping up with all my shows. I mean, I am caught up with Supernatural, and I am ready to watch the series finale tomorrow, which I was so confused, because I'm not going to lie, the last week's episode felt like it was the series finale, but apparently it was just the precursor. I'm like, oh God, okay, so here we go. But the other thing that I am excited about, besides Supernatural, besides other things, is I have been a big fan of reboots lately, and a lot of people are very anti-reboot. And I think it depends on the reboot. Okay, so another show that I watched growing up was Charmed. You know, the tale of three sister witches that fight demons?
Yes.
I'm sure you're familiar with that as well. Well, they've rebooted that series, and it's gotten a lot of controversial drama in the social medias by the original girls not really exactly fans of the new girls. And I don't think it's the fact that they have anything personal against the girls playing the new sisters. is so much the concept that they didn't get invited to be part of it, which I think is a bunch of BS, because they should have found a way to incorporate the original girls. I think so.
Oh, I 1000% agree.
What do you think of reboots?
I like to give them a chance. And one of the new reboots that I know that is going to be coming out is Jared Padalecki is going to be starring as Walker, Walker from Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yes.
And I grew
another
up...
Another show I grew up with, too.
Yes, and I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house during the summer, during summer vacations and stuff, because my mom was a single mom, and she was off work and all day. So I'd go over and I'd help them out, and I just remember from like 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my grandpa and I would sit there and watch Walker, Texas Ranger. And I had the biggest crush on Chuck Norris. Like, I had posters of Chuck Norris, and I love the show. I've seen every single episode. And then to hear that Jared Padalecki, someone who I adored, was going to be coming on as Walker was something that was like, whoa, worlds collide. And they're actually going to have Genevieve Padalecki, Jared's wife, play his wife in the show.
Okay. Now, I question. Now, do you know enough about the new Walker with Jared? Is he the reincarnation of Chuck Norris's Walker, or is this a sequel series where he's actually related to Chuck Norris's character?
See, and I actually don't know.
Okay, I feel like I'm going to have to Google this and make sure it's on my cliff notes of this episode, but I feel like I've heard enough rumor to feel like I thought he was his grandson. Like, he's like the next generation of Texas Ranger Walker, or, you know, once removed. But that's what I heard. And if it's that way, I think they'll get a lot more fans on board. I don't know, because there's so many people that are such purists that they don't want, like, I know that they're talking about a reboot of Xena Warrior Princess. And I wouldn't be opposed to that, given what they can do technology-wise now. I don't know if you were much of a Xena fan.
No, I was not.
I mean, also another generation gap, because Xena was on in the same time as Buffy. So it's another strong female character. And, of course, that one got to have a lot of, like LGBT undertones in it, like, because they were kind of like, were they a couple or weren't they? And it was so I loved the series of Xena as well, but anything with strong women fighting, I guess for me, it was always when I grew up with my two brothers, very masculine boys, and my stepfather, very masculine men, all doing the very stereotypical cliched men do this kind of thing, you know? And that's what I grew up with. And so it was always men were better at this, men were great at this. And there was always a part of me that knew that I wasn't just a typical man. I'm like, if somebody like says that I'm a man, I kind of feel offended. Like, I don't want to be that, did you just assume my gender kind of person? But I feel this like thing where it's like, but I'm not just a man, because for me, I've only seen men are bad. Men are evil. Men are mean. Like, when you say it, that connotation of the word man makes me feel, because they want to dominate. So I don't want to be associated to it. But I've also grown to the fact that I don't believe all men are terrible human beings. I want that to be clear. But there's something about because of where I came from. So when somebody calls me a man and like locks me into that, I'm like, from what my family show what masculinity and men are, I don't want to be associated to that, you know? And so I loved that I got to watch Xena. I watched Buffy and I watched Charmed and I watched these strong women like change the world. And that has led us to a fantastic superhero that is out and making her, she's carrying the DC universe right now, Wonder Woman. Like, I don't know how big of a fan you are to Wonder Woman.
Love her. Love her.
So Gal Gadot, like, couldn't have been a better gift to the world to play this incarnation of Wonder Woman. She is fantastic. She is not just she's not overly sexualized in the show, but I feel, of course, they do. I mean, they're showing her, she's got a beautiful body, and they show it. And of course, men are going to be like, yeah. And they know that. So they're drawing. But I also feel like they've done this perfect image of what a warrior woman in that generation is supposed to look like, and they didn't go just crazy sexualizing her, you know, in this version. And I really appreciate that. I feel there's just enough, but not too much. And I mean, she's an Amazon woman, and so yeah, she's going to show skin, but, and she's beautiful. And so, of course, her movie was fantastic. Her being in Batman versus Superman was fantastic. Her being in Justice League was fantastic, even though Justice League was not well received. But we will see differences, because HBO Max is bringing out a 6-part Snyder cut of what.
Yes.
And so we'll see the entire movie in from Zack Snyder's perception. And I'm really excited to see that, because that could change the whole context of what this DC universe could go into next. But back to Wonder Woman. Oh, and of course, Aquaman has come out of it, and Aquaman's fantastic too. But Wonder Woman is the sequel. Wonder Woman 1984 has had so much drama to it. I don't know if you're following that.
Yes. And there's been so much, and there's been so many angry fans because of COVID and everything. And I think I just read today that
Hold tight. Okay. We're getting there. Well, I wanted to say that there's some great news for the fans, but also some depressing news for the fans. So, but it is, it has had, even before COVID, it had at least 3 different theatrical release date changes. Beforehand, it was supposed to come out last year, you know, it was supposed to, but they moved it because of all these different things that happen in the DC universe. They just don't have it together like Marvel does. You know, Marvel like created a whole universe in 10 years and flawlessly wrapped it up like just recently, and it was beautiful. And DC can capitalize on that like momentum that Marvel is kind of in a break right now, but they unfortunately were not taking a great spin on creating their own universe, and I still haven't hated it, but I understand. I'll tell you a couple things I'm not a fan of, but but now Wonder Woman was supposed to come out in June or end of May, early June this year. But of course, COVID moved it, and it was going to come out August. And I was like, I get it. Okay. I accepted it. I was not happy because all I was waiting for was Wonder Woman, and it was supposed to get me out of my funk, and they move in. I'm like, crap. So, and same with Black Widow, which isn't coming out till next May now. But Wonder Woman is now officially, they've had this conversation, they moved it to December 25th, Christmas Day. It was going to come to movie theaters. It is coming to movie theaters on Christmas Day. However, with all these restrictions, movie theaters are not doing great right now. So they are having to find other ultimate sources to make sure that people are able to see it. And of course, this is going to bring an amazing thing for HBO Max, is going to release Wonder Woman 1984 on Christmas Day, as well as it simultaneously being released in select movie theaters in bigger markets.
Yes, so, and that's such a great streaming service to put it on.
Oh, it really is, and I knew it would happen, just like Mulan went to Disney Plus, you know, and Onward was able to come to Disney Plus before. They've created these platforms so perfectly, and HBO Max, since it is part of Warner, owns the DC universe of things, so everything DC universe is being moved. DC universe had their own app for a little while, and they've created some own original stuff there, but it's not done very successfully, so they're moving everything into HBO.
No, it definitely wasn't. There were a lot of flaws with the DC universe app. So
I did
take
the first. I did buy the first year subscription to the DC Extended Universe thing, and for the fact that Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, another show from my childhood, was on there. And so, and of course, Wonder Woman, all these different DC, and I think all the Batman movies were on there except for the Christopher Nolan ones. But those were still Batmans of my childhood, Batmen of my childhood, if you will, Superman movies. So all the DC stuff was put in there in one spot. So it was like, this is great. And their whole plan was to move everything. Even the CW series would eventually move into there. And they also created Titans and Swamp Thing and
Harley Quinn.
Stargirl. Oh, that Harley Quinn series is bomb.
It is.
I love it. anyone, and now it's on HBO Max. So anyone listening, go watch it now. Binge the crap out of it because it's fantastic. It's Kaley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory and a few other great actors that some that are cameoing in. And then Stargirl was really good. I really did enjoy Stargirl this year. But that's moving to the CW now next year, which is fine. It's fine. And then, so anyway, Wonder Woman will be released on HBO Max. And that is going to be so epic because I'm a big HBO Max supporter. And yeah. So, but I'm also, speaking of the DC Universe on television, that's how you and I first got connected was The Flash. Because that's what I was looking for. The DC Extended Universe on TV has done much better with like doing crossover events than the DC movie universe has done. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, they definitely have. There have been a lot of them that I have caught where they have done, you know, Flash and the Arrowverse. And that's something I've always really loved about DC versus the Marvel aspect is how well DC does with connecting their shows and getting those characters to interact with each other. And it just expands and builds so much more right on the story.
Well, there's so much story and connection because like, and quite recently the DC Universe had to do a big overhaul because they were ending Arrow. Stephen Amell decided he was done playing Arrow for a little while or whatever. He'll probably come back in other things if they want, but they wrapped him up this year in such a fantastic way because, so here's what happened in 2015. After The Flash was successful on the CW, after Arrow was successful, Greg Berlanti, another fantastic inspirational person that must have learned from Joss Whedon at some point in his life. Greg Berlanti created Arrow. And then he created the Flash TV show. And then he had a Supergirl series, but CW decided not to pick it up. But CBS, the parent company of CW, did. So the first season of Supergirl aired on CBS, which then the CBS decided they would not really, they weren't going to do a season two. But they're like, oh, but the show is so great. CW is like, we'll take it and we'll find a way to get them in with the Flash and Arrow, which they were able to cross over by creating the multiverse. Because Supergirl, because she was in the CBS, they did this whole thing where she was on a whole different Earth than the Flash and Arrow were. And so we had to deal with that for a few crossovers where they were just coming through different Earths. But it worked out because in the Flash, they were always going into different Earths all the time, which is really popular in those comic series, which is what gave them the opportunity to do crossovers like this. And so now it has, these crossovers have evolved through the last 7-8 years into what was, they just did a popular comic storyline in Crisis on Infinite Earths. If you're a comic book fan, the DC comic book purists would have kind of hated it, but they also would have loved it how they were using that story arc to bind this whole universe together into one big universe and multiverse from there. And so like how they can connect, if they ever wanted to cross over to any DC, even the movie universe, now they have made it possible by doing this Crisis on Infinite Earths that happened this last winter, was just so fantastic. Anyway, now that I'm done praising that, what do you... but we were also talking about reboots. The other reboot besides Walker and Charmed that has been known is Roswell, New Mexico. That was another show that was on when I was on in high school. And I loved it. It was about aliens in high school in Roswell, New Mexico and blah, blah, blah. And of course it's great because it's sci-fi. So I'm going to love it. And, but that show, it only lasted 3 seasons. It was my sophomore, junior and senior year actually, that I watched that series and then it was done. And then now they've redone it and they've called the new series Roswell, New Mexico. And they've got the same characters in a different fashion. And I really like reboots. I love this Charmed reboot and I really like this Roswell, New Mexico reboot. And I don't hate on reboots. I think it's fantastic, to try and tell a story another way. It's only showing how those series started something that is worth telling again and again and again.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. It's something I'll always definitely try to give it a chance, because it's always weird. You see a reboot and you're like, oh, this character is different than what it was, but it is so cool, the impact that they can have, that they do want to expand, like you said, and create something so much more.
Well, even, I mean, if you look at it, because like in Supergirl, they were able to incorporate different Superman characters, like Lois and Clark, Dean Cain, who played Superman and Lois and Clark back in the early 90s, and Terry Hatcher, who played Lois Lane in that. They both have been on Supergirl in very important roles. They've even taken the original Supergirl from the old Supergirl movie from the 80s, and she is in the series. And they have taken characters from Smallville that have been featured. That's another show I never got to. Was Smallville was very important to me here. But yeah, they've done it, and they've connected these universes so well, and they brought these actors in to pay homage to where they've come from and where they are now. And that's one of the things I really like about what DC has been doing, is honoring its source material as best as it can by also telling us new stories.
Absolutely. One of the big ones I give DC credit for, like you said, is the telling the new stories, is something with Gotham. Gotham was so, I would say, groundbreaking on the different ways that they told the stories, because it was mainly, you know, focused on the villains.
It was. Very much so. We got to see the origins of the villains. I mean, the whole story was actually supposed to focus around Jim Gordon when he was first starting in with Gotham PD as just a detective. And then we got to see his evolution into Commissioner Gordon by the end. And we got to see Bruce Wayne from being a 12-year-old boy into his first becoming Batman in the final episode. It kind of did that. Because do you know that Smallville, when Smallville first started back in 2001, it was actually pitched to the WB as Gotham. It was supposed to be a story about Bruce Wayne growing up before he became Batman in a dark city like Gotham. But somebody, I think they decided it would be more interesting to tell the story of Clark Kent growing up in Smallville. And so that's how it got sold. Not that I'm complaining, because I think Gotham came out when it needed to. You know, do you know that there's another Gotham series coming out soon, though? I think it's coming to HBO Max, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
Gotham PD.
Yep, it's all about the Gotham City Police Department, and I'm really hoping that we'll hopefully get to see some familiar faces. I was not done with Gotham.
I know,
I was,
but this
not
one,
ready.
this particular Gotham PD that's coming out is going to be directly connected to the Batman with Robert Pattinson.
Yes, that's right. I don't know how I let that slip, but yes, that's right. It is going to be connected through that. And that's one DC movie I'm so sad that got pushed back again.
I know.
Because I'm so ready to see Paul Dano as Riddler, because as you said, I'm a fanatic of Riddler.
But I still am so, so freaking obsessed with Cameron for playing the Edward Nygma in Gotham, the one we like. He was gorgeous. I mean, he could have seduced me by just blinking at me.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Corey Michael Smith is one of those actors.
Smith, that's why. Cameron is Selena Kyle. Anyway, Corey Michael Smith, thank you.
Corey Michael Smith, there was just, you know, he was... My big introduction to the Riddler was when I was a kid, and I used to watch Batman 66 with my dad. We'd watch it in black and white, and I got introduced to Frank Gorshin, and like it's on my bucket list to visit Frank Gorshin's burial, his headstone, visit his headstone. Yep. But I want to go visit and pay my respects, because Frank Gorshin is somebody who is so important to me. He
was my first Riddler too. I mean, for the most part, my first original Riddler to me was Jim Carrey.
Carrey's Riddler. Oh, Carrey's Riddler.
Now, yeah, but Frank's is phenomenal.
He truly is, and it's so people sometimes it's hard because sometimes people have such a different view on Frank because they'll, now fans of it that go watch it now are like, oh, well, he was definitely copying the Joker with that laugh. And it's like, if you
I mean,
watched, Riddler was the first villain in any Batman 66 episode. He was
very
day
true.
one. It was Frank
Very.
Gorshin and
Yep. You are correct there. That is 100% accurate. I am not a Batman 66 purist by any means, but I do appreciate the series because, as a proud queer man, or male non-gender conforming, I should actually say, Eartha Kitt was a fantastic Catwoman.
yes.
I mean, like, she created who Catwoman was supposed to be. I know that she was also based on Julie Newmar, and Julie Newmar was one of the OG Catwomen too. I think she was the OG before Eartha, but Eartha Kitt was, I mean, she was an African American actress in her time playing a popular character and on TV, and I mean, how she would do it, she'd be like, "Rawr, Batman." I mean, it was just like, yes, Eartha. Yes, honey. But I would be totally like lynched by someone if I were by the LGBT community if I were to say anything terrible about Eartha anyway, which I have nothing to say bad about her. But I would say that, yeah, Jim Carrey was I mean, obviously I saw Batman 66 prior in my childhood, but as a young teenager, I think I was probably maybe 10 or 11 when Batman Forever came out, and Jim Carrey was a big actor in that time for me. I mean, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, all those were family popular movies between me and my brothers, and so Jim Carrey playing the Riddler was fantastic for us. It didn't even matter who that Val Kil we didn't know who Val Kilmer was. He's playing Batman, cool. We barely knew who Tommy Lee Jones was at that age. Like, but Jim Carrey was playing the Riddler, and that was a big deal to me. And he was good. I think he did a great job for that interpretation of the Riddler.
He definitely did, and I had I had watched it before. I'd seen it on TV before. It was before my appreciation for Riddler was so strong. And every time I watch it, I just feel like that butterfly feeling. I get that feeling every time I see it because he was such a colorful version of Eddie, and it just it he was just. The expressions that Jim Carrey can do are so phenomenal. The way that man can manipulate his face and make you feel
Oh,
that
yeah.
character, just every time it amazes me to watch it. And I always laugh and I'm like, this is just such a cool way. 'Cause then you see, it's, I would compare his a little bit similar to Frank, and you see that the almost like the fun kind of side of Riddler. And then you see Corey Michael Smith's Riddler, which was just you see him out as Edward Nygma. You get to see how that story starts, and then you get to see him actually kind of go to a much darker place. And it's so fun to watch all the actors through the years be able to show you the difference in the character.
So I want to tell you that I think that I need to have you on this podcast more often. Like, I think you need to be a regular guest for these special episodes that this one is, when we're just going to talk about the TV shows we love, the characters we love, and why they're so important to us because of how they have helped shape who we are as people, in our way. They were our friends. We didn't have the normal friend circle that everyone else might be able to say they have. And there's probably more of us out there that have the same concept that we love our TV characters and our TV show family. Like, I mean, Supernatural Brothers, I watched them all the time. Smallville, Buffy, all those people, they were important people in my life, and they were the people I looked forward to seeing every week on a new episode. Where, of course, remember, I had to wait every week and have commercials all the time. I didn't get to pick when I was going to binge watch. It's weird to be able to say that. But so I really think that talking about these, and we'll focus some episodes sometimes. This is just kind of our hodgepodge to really kind of help people understand when we're going to talk about a certain level. Like, we might have a whole episode where we're talking about Supernatural and how we are impacted by it, or Gotham, or Supergirl, or Flash, or anything, really. And I think it's going to be great for us, too, because we love talking about it. We'll love sharing our stories, and we have a connection to all different types of genres of shows. And I feel that you and I are some kind of spiritually connected by this. And so I'm very excited that you came on to talk to me or talk with me about this for the listeners.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm so excited to do more with you. And when you asked me, I was just so excited. And I was telling my fiance, TJ, all about it. And I'm like, you know, we're going to be talking a bit about TV shows and how they were important to us. And I told him, I said, if there's anything like I would want to say to the listeners, to the people in the fandoms out there, that it's, you're not weird. It's not bad to be so in love and have these, the family, the connection, the friends, and the bond that you have with characters. Like, I can wholeheartedly say that I would not have the beautiful life that I have now if I didn't have Supernatural, if I didn't have Edward Nygma. I wouldn't be the outgoing. I probably would not even be doing this podcast and not be like, I'd be like shaking in my boots with anxiety if I didn't love and have Edward Nygma. And I'm looking forward to doing more episodes with you to talk about those experiences.
Yeah.
and to share those feelings, because it is, we are connected. It's like one big family. And you know, they say TV can have a negative influence on you, but it can really shape you into who you are and help you find yourself and bring out the best parts of you.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't have put it better myself. The way you just explained that is exactly how I feel as well. And one thing I want to, so I'm going to leave you with a suggestion of a show that I want to hear. Do you have Hulu?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go at least watch the first episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I will tell you, it's very corny, very cheesy. I mean, it was filmed in 1995. So, I mean, it's rough. Or do me one better and go watch the movie. The Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie from 1993.
Okay? I can do that.
Go watch the movie, and on the next episode that we talk, we're going to discuss the movie itself, and then you'll go watch the episode of the first episode, and we'll talk about that as well, okay?
Okay, I am all for it.
Perfect. All right, so that's our challenge for the next time we get together for one of these episodes, and we'll communicate on that. But, you know, for now, I just want to say thank you again for joining me on this episode. Miss Lily O'Brien.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast, and I feel like I have this big relief that I get to indulge in these fun fandom talks. It's been so long.
Well, I'm glad that I'm able to help you find an outlet to do so. But until then, I'm going to say good night, and we'll talk to you later.
All righty, good night.
And thank you again for listening to Be Fair, a podcast hosted by Aaron Jordan Peterson. And thank you again to Miss Lily O'Brien for joining me for this conversation. I promise you, listeners, she will be back again, and we will talk about some more. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please go to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, and even our website, www.tobefairpodcast.com. And tell us what you think. Give us a shout out, whatever you can. Share this podcast with other people so other people listen, and let us hear what you think and what you want to hear, because we want to talk about all the things you want to hear as well. So until then, talk to you later.